Hi, everybody. I'm Pam, compulsive overeater and food addict, 100-pounder, relapse survivor. Because when I leave these rooms, I go right back into relapse. In these rooms, I stay abstinent, but when I leave these rooms, I'm right back into the disease. Yeah, I'm a relapse survivor, a wayward daughter that has come back home to the OA rooms and to the OA way of life. And I'm grateful for that. I have a sponsor and I sponsor. I have a sponsor, two men and four women right now. And I was in bondage, when I was in my food, I was in bondage. And I had very unhealthy thinking. I was a slave to food. I felt like a prisoner. And I didn't know how to get out when I wasn't in these rooms. When I was in my active disease, my thinking is so much different, and what I found out in these rooms, when I came, I originally came 32 years ago and I left different times and came back. I've been back since 5 years ago, July 9th, and been absent since I came back in. I'm grateful for that. I felt like I was dying and I couldn't stop using the thing that was killing me, which was the food, which was the sugar, which was the white flour. And this is my story. And there's people that eat those things, and that's abstinent for them, that, their food plan. My food plan doesn't include those things because it just doesn't work for me because I can't eat one of anything. I had to have the whole bag, the whole box, the whole row, whatever. I'm really grateful because the one thing I've learned and the one thing that I've heard over and over is the one step you have to get right is step one. I am powerless over food, people, places, things, situations, circumstances, I should say. And the one thing I found out in these rooms is I have a disease. It's called compulsive overeating and food addiction. I have this disease and I'll always have it. But it doesn't mean I have to practice the disease. I am in recovery today. I'm recovered one day at a time. That does not mean the big book talks about the word recovered a lot. It doesn't mean I'm cured. It doesn't mean I have it made. I don't have it made at all because I am inches and seconds away from anybody else that's in relapse. All I have to do is let down on my spiritual part of the program, which is the very best part of the program. I will tell you that I haven't lost weight for quite a while, and I'm not too happy about that. I lost a lot of weight the first 2 years, and it's like if it's any slower, being reversed right now. And I'm not going to beat myself up over that. I could easily do that. And I still have that sick thinking sometimes. Like tonight, it's like, oh, I think I'm going to wear my black sweater because it makes me look thinner. And it's like, no, you're not. You're going to wear your red top that you like. And I don't care how you look in it. Because the disease part is the disease part of the mind that says wear the black top because it'll make you look better, and the recovery part says it's like wear your red shirt, just wear your red shirt because it's not about how you look, it's not about you looking thinner or heavier or any of that, none of that matters, but I will tell you something. When I was in my food in between OA and before OA, I would talk terrible to myself. I would call myself a freak of nature. I would think I'm just look like this fat pig. I mean, just not nice, not nice things. I don't do that today, but my whole life, from when I can remember when I was pretty young, it was always about food. And even though I wasn't really heavy when I was a little kid, I thought I was, and I look back and it's like, geez, I wasn't even heavy. But everything was about food, what I was going to eat, what I'm going to eat, how much I'm going to eat. There was like eight people in my family. So, they put a plate of the stuff out, from a bag, after dinner. And it's like, you gotta move quicker. You don't get your share. Well, I won't tell you, I always got my share, but everything involved revolved around that, riding a bike to the candy store, blah, 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 getting candy, going to swimming and going to the concession stand, in sixth grade and bringing food in school and thinking I have this cool teacher. No, seventh grade. Think I have this cool teacher because he lets me eat in there. And it's like, I'm thinking he's a good teacher because he lets me eat. Growing up, I was gaining weight, gaining weight, gaining weight. When I graduated from high school, I weighed 180 pounds, and I thought I was the biggest person in the world. I mean, I was 5'9". I thought I was like circus weight. I mean, I look back even when I weighed like 167, and I thought I was just the fattest person ever. Because my friends were 100 pounds. they weighed 100 pounds. They're little and they're petite, and I'm the tall one and I'm the bigger one and blah, blah, blah. But none of that mattered. But what happened in sixth grade, which really started messing me up, is they would weigh you, and I weighed 98 pounds at the beginning of sixth grade, and then you get weighed at the end, and I weighed 101. So I could gain 3 pounds. I should gain 3 pounds. I should gain 3 pounds in sixth grade, you know, but anyway, so, and then that summer I quit doing things. So I gained 30 pounds and then I was restricting for a month. For a month, I ate like a bag. Do you guys say food? I ate a bag. Okay. I ate like a bag of licorice and drank Diet Red Cola, and I would walk really, really far to burn those calories off. And I would get hives and think, what is wrong with me? Well, what was wrong with me? Chemicals over here, sugar over here, walking far. Of course I was getting hives. You know, I can remember, like, even in school being made fun of. I remember going in the hall. We had these little things called clackers. You go like this, or like these little ball things, and you hold them on a string. And I remember this kid calling me a sweat hog. You know, no one's ever called me a name like that. And it really messed with my mind. Anyways, I got through school. Always thought, you know, if I was married, if I had a boyfriend, I'd be thin. If I had a car, I'd be thin. If I had a baby, I'd be thin. You know, all this stuff. And, none of that stuff makes you thin, you know, because I was sick. So I find out, you know, I have a disease and I have an obsession of the mind. I have an allergy of the body. And I never understood why I couldn't stop eating sugar, blah, 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 you know, until I came to OA. And then I found out I have an allergy. Once I start, I can't stop. And then my identity, my whole life, my identity was like, okay, like, what I would do, like, say, I would make jewelry for a 12-step shop and make cards. You know, the one whole wall was my cards on the wall, and I was so proud of it. And then when that store closed, I felt like I was nobody. And that's not who I am. I'm who God says I am. I'm not the person that makes cards or the person that makes jewelry or the baker, the whatever, you know. And, you know, and then my identity, I was a wife, and my husband died. I'm a mom, and my son gets killed. You know, he gets shot and killed. And then, so I'm nobody again, right? And that's not true. None of that is true, you know, because I'm who, like I said, God says I am, you know, and who you guys say I am. I mean, but I got really screwed up in my head thinking that that's who I am. And none of those things that I did is who I am. Those are things I just did. Those are things I made. Those are things I did. That's not who I am. You know, I am PM, the person that loves, the person that, you know, is willing to give, the person that want to nurture people. I used to, like, I would have so much trouble with body image, you know, and it's like, oh, my arms are fat and my stomach hangs. And the more, you know, a person loses, you know, like, I'm hanging more, and, you know, and my arms, look at my arms, they're just flabby under here. And it's like, and then it's like, you know what, these arms held 87 foster kids and hugged 87 foster kids. You know, these arms are valuable. And I'm valuable. I don't have to get all screwed up on a scale. Like, every time I've been in OA, my weight has all been released the first year, always, except for this time. And it's slow. You know, it's fast at first, and it just isn't even moving right now. And, but the one thing that I have gained so much in this program is the relationship I have with my higher power. You know, I had to surrender because I didn't know. I would go to bed at night and say, God, please just let me eat healthy tomorrow. You know, and then I'd get up and I'd start eating. But I didn't know, but I come to OA and I learned that I surrender. You know, I give it to God. You know, God, take this, because I can't do it. And I tried many times when I left OA. I used the pronoun I, because I thought I could do this. I cannot do anything. But we, God and I, you know, my higher power, whom I call God and others too, and you guys, you know, and the support I have, you know, I can do this with help, as long as I keep God in it and I don't, you know, that equation doesn't leave, you know, like, I'm here, God is here, and the food is over here. I have to keep God in the middle, and he intervenes, as long as I stay surrendered. And I'm grateful for that. I know I'm all over the place, but that's okay. I operate in a spiritual authority of my higher power, and I'm not perfect. I'm the farthest from it. I don't even want to be perfect. People die trying to be perfect. You know, like, before I got on the meeting tonight, you know, I will tell you, I was yelling at my grandson. I heard the bird chirping. I go in there and the bird was flying around in my room, and I've had poop all over the place. I can't tell you how many times. And I just want to rip the kid's head off, you know, not literally, you know, But, and then I came here and I was kind of like, oh, and then I just calmed down. I just, there's something about, you know, I just calmed down, you know, and he doesn't think like I do. I mean, you know, my OA life is beautiful. My life here with my grandson is very hard, but I'm grateful, you know, and I have a sponsor, my original sponsor that I had 32 years ago when I first came in here. And every time, you know, I've been in OA different times for, you know, lengths of time. And every time when I have left and I came back and asked my sponsor to sponsor me, if she'd still sponsor me, she'd be like, I'd be honored. And I'm really grateful for that. You know, what I found out is that I have to make deposits every day in my spiritual bank. You know, like if I don't have money in the bank, I can't pay my bills. You know, the regular bank. If I don't put deposits in this God-shaped hole, this, you know, fill it with God, fill it with all the God things, then I'm not going to be abstinent. And I already know that. And I don't know. I'm just really grateful. You know, I don't always have my patience isn't always like I want it to be, like with my grandson, but I have to remember progress, not perfection. And I'm grateful for that. I do not take credit for anything I have, not for my abstinence, not for any of that, because it is all God. It is all my higher power. It is not me. I am willing to go to any length. Pam does the Pam work. God does the God work. Stay out of God's way. Let him do his thing and do mine. You know, I was always willing to go to any length to get my food. I had to be willing to go to any length to stay in recovery. And I'm grateful for that, because if I'm in my food, me and my thinking is not right. You know, I am not at my potential of who God wants me to be. You know, I am not at all. I'm grateful that I can sponsor. I'm grateful that in these rooms, there was so much hope. You know, in these rooms, there was so much healing power. You know, in these rooms, you know, it's like love for the people that aren't loved, support for the people that are unsupported, rest for the weary, hope for the hopeless, you know, a life preserver for the dying. These rooms, I get goosebumps. These rooms are everything to me. God is everything to me. And the best thing that's came out of this recovery this time, even though the wait is slow, is the relationship I have with God. And it's beautiful. You know, it's beautiful. And I mess up. I mean, there's times that, like, poor my friend in here, she listens to me whining about different things about my grandson different times. But I'm really grateful because I have people that will listen. You know, my one friend always says, go where the love is. And it's here. It's in these rooms. Like the people there, they don't understand. And my sponsor said, they don't have to understand. They don't have to get it. I have to get it. I have to get it. What do I need to do? Okay, thank you. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the hope that's in these rooms. I'm grateful for the steps. I'm grateful for the people that came before me, the people that are here now, and the people that will keep coming when I'm gone. I'm grateful for all that. I should be dead. I almost died in the hospital before. From gallbladder disease, I ended up with peritonitis. But the truth is, I got gallbladder disease because of this disease. That's why I got gallbladder disease. And I'm not saying everybody does that, because there's people that have gallbladder disease and they're healthy eaters. But not me. I wasn't at all. You know, but anyways, I'm just grateful that God speaks to me through you guys, through music, through literature, even at church, sometimes I hear these things. It's like, man, this sounds like an OA meeting, you know? The one thing I need to remember is that I can't go back to how it was years ago. I am truly a compulsive overeater and food addict. That's never going to change. And I've tried to prove it that I can do this, and I can't, and I never will be able to. So today I'm just going to keep coming back. I'm going to be working my steps. I'm going to go to any length and every length when I can give service. I will. I can't give it all the time, of course, but I do like to give service, and I'm grateful for that. Yeah, you know, God changed my name from Too Far Gone to Saved by Grace, because I was so far gone. You know, he pulled me out of those ashes. He pulled me out of those ashes, you know, and gave me this recovery life, and I'm grateful. And the people in OA, I'm so grateful for all of you that you're part of my recovery. You know, I have people, and some of you have already heard this, so sorry if you have to hear it again, but some of you haven't. But, you know, somebody sent me $1,000 to go to the birthday party in California, Los Angeles in January. I'm going to be doing that. I'm scared. I'm scared to fly. I'll tell you right now, I'm scared to fly. But it's something I have to surrender, just like the food, just like the scale, just like trying to control that I know I left a million things out, but I'm just really grateful. I'm grateful that I came back. I'm grateful that I came back to OA, and I'm grateful that I was welcomed with open arms, just like anybody that comes back. I open arms, you know, you're loved, you know, and I got here because of, well, God, of course, and Richard Simmons, you know, I got here because of Richard Simmons. Never trying to sell any of his, I wouldn't even say if he was not alive, but he's not alive now. So I'm going to say that he was a big inspiration to get to these rooms. And the one thing I need to remember is part of my absence, keep coming back to never leave these rooms again, because to leave these rooms is to die. And this disease can be fatal, can be fatal. I've known so many people that have died in this disease, and it'll never say in the obituary, Jane Doe died of compulsive overeating and food addiction. We won't see those things. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I am blessed beyond measure. Yeah. And even though I have a hard life here with my grandson, you know, my OA life, I love my OA life, and I love my grandson too. He's just hard. And there's times it's like, I can't do this anymore. Or like say if my grandson's like, I can't do this anymore. It's like, you're absolutely right. You can't. It's because it's back to we can, God and I. God gives me the strength. I want to say this and then I'll close. My husband died. It was 3 years ago, May 9th. And then 7.5 months later, my son was shot and killed. And those were really hard times because I should have been eating. I should have been right back into my sugar. I should have done all that, right? But because I stayed surrendered and God walked me through that wide valley, he was there. And that high mountain, that tall mountain is too high for me to climb, he was there. He held my hand. He lifted me up just like the footsteps saying, you know, footprints. He was with me. And the one thing I know I don't have to do is to do this program alone. I do not have to do this alone unless I choose to. You are all important to me. I love all of you. I wish you all peace, love, and joy. I wish you beautiful absence. If you would let me do this for 30 seconds, I would like to read this real quick. The Knots Prayer. Please untie the knots that are in my mind, my heart, and my life. Remove the have knots, the can knots, and the do knots that I have in my mind. Erase the will knots, may knots, and might knots that may find a home in my heart. Release me from the could knots, would knots, and should knots that obstruct my life. And most of all, dear God, I ask that you remove from my mind, my heart, and my life all of the am knots that I am allowed to hold back. I mean, that have allowed me to hold back, especially the thought that I am not good enough. And you know what? The one thing I've learned, I'm enough. I am more than enough. And so are all you. I pass. Thank you.